Come with me if you want to live.
What's up, Road Warriors? Welcome back to another episode of a podcast from Fury Road. We are your hosts, Mark.
And Brooke.
Filtered set here. Keeps dropping on me. There we
go. Sorry. we are talking about my pick this week, and I chose a Monkey Man from 2024.
Yes, sir.
This is one that's been on our radar for a while. I think both of ours, right? I think you said you almost picked it before too.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I just got the 4K a few weeks ago, so I figured what better time to do an episode on it.
Yeah.
I saw you vlogged it a few times now since we saw it in theaters, right?
Yeah, because I bought the 4K last year.
Yeah.
Well, not last year. Yeah, I last watched it November 2024. So
okay,
probably right when the 4K came out.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think this came out in like February or something like that. Like this year. Yeah,
we watched it in April.
Was it April? Okay.
Yeah.
I remember it was earlier in the year, but
yeah.
Man, I was looking at the box office for this, and it kind of bombed.
Yeah. See that? I mean, yeah.
I don't know, like, its budget was $10 million, and it made $35 million worldwide. So, I mean, it made its money back, but not a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was just surprised at that. I thought it was a more popular movie. But anyways, before we dive into that too far, we'll kick off our box office and news and booze. What are you drinking tonight?
Still drinking my Rocky Mountain Ice Cold Coors Lights.
Gotta be almost done that case by now.
No.
Jesus. Probably 60? Bringing,
yeah, it was a 60, yeah.
Mm.
And then I had the Coors Seltzers too, so
yeah.
I'll be bringing those on the trip with me, so
nice.
They'll probably be done by the time I get back.
Good thing about driving there is you can bring anything that you want.
Quite nice, actually. Like,
yeah.
Don't feel pressure packing, like, just fucking pack as much as you can. And
yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Don't have to worry about carry-ons and weights or anything like that.
Exactly.
I'm drinking a Brickworks Cider House Batch 1904 Apple Cider.
Nice.
I'm on a cider kick.
I haven't had cider in a while, to be honest.
It's so good in the summer.
Yeah.
It's just a nice drink. What's your last four watched?
Last four watched. A lot of rewatches for me. So I watched Nizza 2. I don't know if I'm saying that right. Been working on the billion watch list there. So watch that. It was all right. In my one Discord podcast I'm with, they have one of the channels is Film Raffle.
Yeah.
So I decided to join that this week. So basically, you get a random person in the Discord, and they recommend a movie to you, and then you recommend someone a movie as well that that you've seen and they had, or yeah, that you've seen and they haven't, and vice versa. So the guy that got me, he picked We Live in Time. That's Andrew Garfield and Florence Pugh movie that came out a couple years ago.
Right. Yeah.
Really a fucking good movie. I really liked it. But it's pretty sad, but well made, and like those two are just amazing. They have such good chemistry.
Sarah and I started to watch that like late last year or early this year. I can't remember.
Yeah.
And like we started it and both of us were just like, I am not in the mood for this movie. Like,
yeah.
I don't want to be sad tonight. So let's pick something else. But
and so it's a non-linear story. And at first, I like it. Because it's like it's changing so much in the first like 10 minutes, but then like once it got going, I kind of did like it. Yeah, definitely worth watching.
Okay.
And then finally I watched Puss in Boots: The Last Wish. First watch, fucking such a good movie for a Puss in Boots movie. Like, it's wild.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Nice.
How about you?
I know. A couple friends at work kept suggesting The Wood from 1999. I'd never heard of it until they suggested it. It's basically like a black coming of age story. It's got
Okay.
Omar Epps and a few other guys in it. I can't remember exactly who, but it was good. I really enjoyed it. Just I don't know. It was between two timelines, like the current time and then back whenever they were teenagers. So kind of flip back and
Nice.
forth. But yeah, it was good. Randomly throw on Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. I just kind of wanted like a background movie, and I hadn't watched that in a while. And I used to love it when I was younger. It holds up, but not fully. Finally watched Mortal Kombat 2.
Nice.
I really liked it. The fight scenes are a lot more violent. There's more like fatalities and stuff in it. And it was just, I don't know, it was a really cool watch. And I'm excited to see the characters that they bring in for the third one.
Oh, they're going to do a third one?
I'm sure they will.
Okay, nice.
Yeah. And I bought the Flintstones on 4K, like the Steelbook. And I think it was Saturday or Sunday. I can't remember what day it was. But I threw it on thinking that it'd be like a nice family movie to watch. Actually, it was Father's Day. So yeah, it was Sunday. Thought it'd be a nice family movie to watch. And nobody watched it except for me. So I was like, all right, well, fuck it. I'm just going to sit here and watch it myself. But obviously, that's a rewatch and one that I enjoyed as a kid.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've seen it. Same with Viva Rock Vegas.
There's some adult
Who's
humor in it.
the bad guy in that? Like, who's Halle Berry's boss? Is it what actor is it?
Fuck, I just closed Letterboxd. I can't remember what his name is. We know who he is, though. One sec. Come on. Now my computer decides to be slow. Kyle MacLachlan.
Oh, yeah. I think we've talked about him a few times on one of our podcasts, right? This is the guy from
Looks a lot older now, but is
Oh, never
he?
mind. I was thinking of yeah, he's the guy from Dune, right? Like the OG Dune.
Yes,
Twin
he was
Peaks.
Twin
Maybe we didn't
Peaks, the
talk about him, but
Changeling.
I've definitely I feel like I've seen him something I watched recently.
No, I don't see anything that we would have covered.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's in the original Dune, Changeling, Showgirls, Twin Peaks, Fire Walk with Me, Blink Twice. Maybe you saw him in Blink Twice because you watched that, didn't you?
No, I haven't seen that.
No? I thought you had.
No.
House with a clock on the walls.
Yeah. He's kind of a dickhead in Flintstones, isn't he?
Oh yeah. But that's his character.
Yeah.
Yeah, Halle Berry was a fucking fox in that movie.
Oh, I remember the leopard print. Don't worry.
It looked very good. Anyways, for the box office. Oh shit, I didn't know that was it. The Death of Robin Hood came out last weekend.
Man, I've been seeing so many fucking ads on that movie.
It looks sick.
It does.
It did not make any money though. In fifth place, we have Scary Movie, brought in 6.3 million. In fourth place still, we have Backrooms, brought in 7.1. Obsession, still in the top three or top five. It
That's
brought
crazy.
in 13.3. And it's got a total domestic gross of 215 million, which is fucking wild. Second place, we have Disclosure Day, brought in 17.7.
Nice.
And in first place, in its opening weekend, no surprise to anyone, Toy Story 5 absolutely fucking demolished the box office, brought in 159.6 million.
That's domestic?
Domestic.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
I mean, that's got to be one of the biggest opening weekends this year, right?
I would think so, yeah. Let's see. Internet, or sorry, worldwide so far up to now, it's at 351 million.
That's going to hit a billion easily.
Oh, for sure. It's only been out since fucking Friday.
I'm going to have to fucking keep going on my goddamn list.
Yeah. Yeah, what's it? Yeah, it released June 19th. So it's been out for 5 days and it's made 351 million.
Wow.
That's holy shit. That's fucking wild. Obsession is coming to VOD soon. I can't remember what the date was. That doesn't say it on here. I can't remember what the date was, but it's coming soon.
So yeah, according to Google AI, Toy Story 5 is the biggest opening weekend so far of 2026.
Yeah. I mean, we haven't really had any big movies.
I mean, Super Mario Galaxy
Oh,
movie
yeah,
brought in
true.
132 million.
Right. Project Hail Mary. That was probably big.
Yeah, I feel like that's pretty much it though.
Yeah.
I'm curious, what the Odyssey and Dune Part 3 are going to bring in.
I imagine they're gonna. Well, I don't know. I feel like they will, but I don't know if they'll make that much in the opening weekend.
Yeah.
I'm so pumped for the Odyssey, though.
Yeah, me too. I've tried to avoid everything about
Yeah.
the movie.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be fucking sick. But anyways, what do we have for 4Ks?
We got A Simple Plan. We got Hang'em High. Clint Eastwood. We got The Nude Vampire.
Okay, sounds fun.
Interesting. We got
Oh,
Slither
that's
on
a
Steelbook.
sick steel book.
That is. We got The Gray. What Dreams May Come. Click. 50 First Dates. Desperate Living on Criterion. And Hairspray from 1988 on
Oh
Criterion as
shit.
well. So,
Two John Waters movies.
yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, you ready to dive into this movie?
Yes, sir.
Right, like we said in the intro this week, we are talking about Monkey Man from 2024. Starting off with the synopsis. An anonymous young man unleashes a campaign of vengeance against the corrupt leaders who murdered his mother and continue to systematically victimize the poor and powerless. This was directed by Dev Patel. It was his directorial debut. He's obviously a very well-known actor, but he's got another movie in the works right now. I don't know very much about it, but based on this movie, spoiler alert, I think he'll do a good job.
I think so.
Hopefully, anyways.
Yeah.
Cast list. I have six cast members just because I don't have any honorable mentions for this one. And it was hard to kind of keep some people out and put some people in. So I just kind of
Yeah.
rolled with it. Dev Patel plays Kid or Monkey Man.
Or Bobby.
Or Bobby, yeah. Pito Bash played Alfonso. Sikander Kerr played Rana. Makrind Deshpande played Baba Shakti. Vipin Sharma played Alpha. And Ashwini Kalsekar played Queenie. And
Nice.
I didn't have honorable mentions, but I don't know if you did or
No,
not.
not really. I do want to say though that Jordan Peele produced this movie.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And his is it Monkey Paw is
Monkey
this
Paw, yeah.
production company? Yeah.
Yep. All
Sorry,
right.
I forgot to do your game, so I was just
I
typing
was
some
wondering,
stuff up.
I was gonna ask you before we started, but I was like,
Yeah,
oh, he's got it.
no, I had the idea, I just didn't type it
Okay.
up.
All right.
Yeah.
You want
So
a minute
yeah.
or do you want to
No,
dive in? Okay.
we'll take a break later.
Okay.
So yeah, title Monkey Man from 2024. I think this is the last movie that I watched in theaters with my friend Casey, I think.
Yeah, because the three of us went together.
Or when, yeah, because the Batman was 2023.
Three or two?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Monkey Man was the last time.
Yeah. Or John Wick 4.
Yeah, because that came out 2025?
20. No, that's 2024 as
2024
well,
as
I
well?
think. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, so Monkey Man from 2024. A movie opens up with the kid's mom telling a story about the mighty Hanuman, who was like this monkey kid who basically sees he thinks is a mango, but it's all actually the sun, and he eats the sun, and then the gods basically take away his powers and turn him into a human, I think, is what the pictures
Yeah, that's
were.
what it looked like to me.
Yeah. So from what I see here, the Hanuman Chalisa is a Hindu devotional hymn in praise of Hanuman, who is a deity in Hinduism, revered as a divine Vanara and a devoted companion of Lord Rama.
Okay.
He is traditionally believed to be the spiritual offspring of the celestial wind god Vayu. I just want to see, like, yeah, I don't know if this is like just like a real person or like it's I don't know, it's a lot of information here, so I didn't do any really prep on this. I was just curious. So yeah, she's telling him a story about this god. And then the movie cuts to him fighting in a ring with the monkey face mask on his head. And he's fighting a guy named King Cobra, who is kind of the best fighter, I guess, that they have here, the toughest fighter. The owner is a guy named Tiger, who was this like New Zealand guy, I think, or like Australian.
He's South African.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that the
So.
same guy from District 9?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, okay.
No, Chappie.
Is it
Maybe
Chappie?
District 9 too. It might have been District 9 and
Maybe.
Chappie. Yeah.
Okay.
Because there's a couple of people in this movie that were in Chappie as well.
Okay.
I think
I've
he
never
might have been
seen
in both.
Chappie, yeah.
Oh man, Chappie's a great movie.
Yeah. So yeah, he is the owner. At first, Monkey Man is kicking this guy's ass, and then kind of ends up getting his ass kicked and stuff like that. After the fight, he is asking Tiger for money, and he gives him like half of what he got before. And he's like, "Well, you gotta fight, you know, if you want more money, and then you can get the bleed bonus, which, you know, you bleed, you get more money." And we meet Baba Shakti, who is a guru, former guru, who is using this kind of power as like a guru to kind of team up, I guess, or like trying to think of the word, like align with the sovereign party in India, which
He's
I don't know when this
essentially,
movie is based, like if
yeah,
it's
they.
these times or like if this is kind of not based like on a true story, but like I wonder if like this stuff happened in India or did happen of.
It would be modern time, like, because at one point we see like a sick Lamborghini
Yeah.
in the parking garage, so I'm assuming it's modern time, but he's essentially like a cult leader.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I love his like interview. Just the way that he speaks, it's so entrancing. Like he's a perfect character to have as like this cult
Yeah.
leader and to have all these
Exactly.
people just like following him and stuff like that.
Yeah.
'Cause the way he talks is just like, oh my God, like I'm entranced by this guy.
Yeah, it's like the wife and I are watching this documentary on Disney Plus called The Cult of Nature Boy.
Okay.
And she heard the podcast about it, and like a girl from Nova Scotia went to this guy's cult, and he was basically pretending he was a god, and like they flew to Costa Rica and were just kind of,
Oh, I think I remember hearing about this.
yeah, it was a few years
Yeah,
ago.
yeah.
But yeah, so he definitely has that aura of like, seems like nice guy, but is using that kind of niceness like to his advantage, right?
Yeah.
So we meet Queenie Kapoor. She is Rana's wife. We see I love the scene of them stealing Queen's wallet,
Yeah, it's so sick.
because the guy comes up in a wheelchair and he's like pretends he's blind and is asking for food, and then takes her wallet. Then he just like going down the alleyway in his wheelchair, and then just like gets up, and like the music kicks in, and
Yeah.
just got this montage of them passing the wallet like back and forth, like to kids and stuff like that.
Yeah. It passes into like so many hands just so like they lose track of it, right?
So later that night, the kid is going to Kane's, which is the club. He's bringing the wallet back to her. She gives him money and he says no, he wants a job because he's trying to get closer to Rana and to Baba because he remembers that Rana was the one that killed his mother when he was a kid. He has these burns on his hands.
I like that too, because when he goes to Queenie, she said like, well, like we don't just hire people off the street. Like I need like you need to have like a resume or something like that. And then he shows her his hands and he's like, this is my resume. And he tells her that it's bleach, like it's bleach burns, so that he can get into the kitchen. But
Says like he'll do the job that no one else wants to and stuff like that. So he's like back there cooking, and we meet a guy named Alfonso, who's this little annoying
Love
dude.
him.
And he's like asking, he's like, oh, I've seen you before, eh? And he's like, no. He's like, what's your name? And he's like, my name's Bobby. And then like he leaves, and he sees like Bobby's like oils on the little thing. Yeah, that was funny. So we see him outside. He is going to like this stand, and he has a little kid taking him across somewhere, and then they end up going to this like basement place where he's buying a weapon. He buys a what does he buy? Magnum, I think, or something like that.
Well, it's a small
Yeah, small
revolver.
arm. And so we see him with Alfonso again. He is going to buy stuff for the VIPs, which is like another floor above theirs. I don't think it's cocaine. They call it something else in this movie, but I know they snort it. So I mean, it's
I think it is Coke, because he does.
okay.
Because at one point, Alfonso says that Rena likes the candy.
And Bobby wants to help. He's trying to get into this place, get move up. And so he tells Alfonso, hey, come to this spot tonight. And he's like, well, what is it? He's like, just bet on King Cobra. And he's like, well, what do you get out of it? And he's like, I want a promotion. And he's like, the monkey will win the first two rounds, but then King Cobra will win by knockout in the third round. So he's like, okay. And then he goes to the fight, and we see exactly that happen. He's winning, and then he tells King Cobra just hit him a bunch and just gets knocked the fuck out. And then Alfonso's happy, and then next scene we see him in the elevator with a nice suit, got his promotion.
Man, Dev Patel looks so fucking good. Like,
He's a good-looking guy,
he
man.
is a great looking guy, and he's tall, he's slender, he looks fucking awesome in his tux.
He does. He's moving up a level into the area where all the rich people are, and this is where that all the girls are that they are trafficking, basically. Because I think we hear at one point, I don't know if it's the past scene or a future scene, we hear Queenie talking to someone and like vetting one of the girls, like, okay, make sure she's good, and got all these passes and stuff like that, or whatever.
And she recruits them, quote unquote, at a very young age. Like the book that she's picking them out of, they're most definitely underage.
100%. And we find out that Rana is up in the VIP room. Like you said, he likes his candy. Where were. Because this is the scene where we find out what Alfonso drives.
Oh yeah.
But what
This
were they going to do? Do you remember? Him and
so
Bobby.
they go upstairs and Bobby spikes Rana's coke with like bleach or something like that. So he gets a bloody nose, then he goes to the bathroom, and then this is when Bobby, say Bobby, but this is when he's planning on killing him, and they end up having their big fight in the bathroom. And then
No, I
he,
thought Because they leave in, we see Alvonzo's little fucking shitty souped up, what are those things called?
Isn't that when they're escaping? Like
Is
after the
that?
fight?
Oh, maybe it was. I don't know. I know it is after the fight, but I thought.
Yeah, this is when they're escaping.
Right,
'Cause this is when
okay.
it like 'cause then they end up crashing and then this is when he gets arrested
Yeah.
after all that.
Yeah. Yeah, so gets the top floor, and yeah, they're just handing out cocaine to everyone. He sees Rana, and he kind of keeps doing these flashbacks. Like he's getting overwhelmed by everything that's happening. So he goes in the bathroom. Somehow he gets a gun in. I don't know if
Dog.
it was the dog. The dog brought it to him, or
Yeah, he trained a dog to like sneak it into the building.
right, okay, Yeah, so he's in the bathroom, and then Rana comes in. His nose is bleeding from the fucking bleach that he put in the cocaine. And yeah, Bobby fucks up in this scene. I think he just gets overwhelmed and he acts too soon, I think. Because he pulls out the gun and is about to shoot Rana. And then like, other guys in the bathroom comes out and Rana knocks the gun out of his hand. We get this massive fight scene between the two of them. They like shoot at like the fucking aquarium and the just yeah. Bobby's getting his ass kicked in this scene.
The other poor bastard just finished taking a shit and then he gets shot twice.
So yeah, they're fighting. Bobby gets stabbed in the leg. And then yeah, Bobby hops through like the where the aquarium was because everyone's trying to come in the bathroom because there are gunshots and shit like that. And he gets like this like little hallway and there's like a window at the end. And there's stairs going down, but he knows people coming up probably. So he's like getting like pumped up. He's like just runs, hits the window, just fucking bounces off.
Fucking
Yeah,
plexiglass.
it's so funny. Oh. So he's running down the stairs and then yeah, he like kicks a few guys' asses and he gets into the garage and like the security guard's sleeping and then he ends up jacking Alfonso's ride, which is little fucking what are they called? A little
A tuk-tuk.
tuk tuk.
Yeah.
Except this thing's like fucking souped up, like he
Oh
goes
man, this
super
thing's
fucking
fucking
quick.
turbocharged.
Yeah,
What's he say that
turbocharged.
he, what does he call her? I call her
Nikki.
Nikki, yeah, for Nicki
Yeah.
Minaj.
Yeah. The kid's like, what? He's like, Nicki Minaj. It's like, oh my God.
Good bumper and big headlights.
Yeah. It's stupid. Yeah, so that's happening. Then he gets smashed by a cop car, knocked out. Alfonso ends up leaving him because Bobby's all fucked up. Then we see them with like the fucking field hockey, I think, like fucking club. He gets knocked out, put into the back of the cop car, and then he wakes up and he ends up escaping from the cop car somehow. Cause he's all like handcuffed, stuff like that. And then he's running away from the cops. He gets up to this apartment building, and there is a sex place up there. I don't know.
Yeah, like a brothel.
Brothel, basically. All these people having sex. There's like kids up there. Like, I don't know what the fuck's going on there. But then the cops just come up, and the owner of this place is like has an axe, and he's like, "You want to fuck, huh?" And then he fucked my place, and just like fucking swings at him. He ducks and just nails another guy in the fucking neck with the
Man,
axe.
I forgot about that scene.
Yeah, me
That's
too.
fucking wild.
Yeah. And so they're fighting, and then Bobby just fucking bites this guy's nose straight off.
Yeah.
Oh my God. So he's running away from the cops to this place, gets up on the rooftop. There's a helicopter up there, and then the helicopter guy shoots him, and he falls into the fucking dirty ass river.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he wakes up in the sanctuary, or in a sanctuary. He meets a guy named Alpha. He is the keeper of the temple. And Bobby wants to leave, but he says, no, you should stay, rest, and heal. Yeah, so
Alpha's fucking dope too.
Yeah, I like him.
I love this character.
Also, before, whenever Bobby was asking Alfonso a bit, like, Queenie and like Rana and Babiscotti, and then he's like, "Well, the police," and then Alfonso says, "Well, the cops are the dirtiest ones because Rana's the chief of police, right?" Or he's one of the higher ups, I think.
He used to be the chief of police and now he's like a political guy, but
Okay.
yeah, he like whenever he killed Bobby's mom in that village, that he was a police chief then.
Yeah, so we do see a brief scene of Rana talking to Bada or Baba, sorry. And he's like telling him about Bobby, and then he says Bobby mentioned about his mother. And Baba kind of says, like, "Oh, don't worry about that." Like, do you think Baba knows? Or, like, I mean, he wouldn't know that's him specifically, but that could be a kid from back then whenever they destroyed that village.
I would assume so, yeah.
And later that night, we see, I don't know what the guy's name was, that was playing the fucking drums. When he was like playing the drums and he's like telling the story, he's like, "This one is like the husband." He makes like a sound, and then he like, I thought that scene was cool. That,
Yeah, it was.
he's sitting there, he's telling a story on the drums, and Bobby ends up getting given some sort of fucking drugs or something. And he goes on this massive fucking drug trip. I don't know. He like tears his fucking stomach open, and I don't know.
Yeah.
It was weird for sure.
I think like Alpha gave it to him to like as a way to address his trauma and confront it and kind of like help him work through it.
Get the flashback of the whole of his whole childhood. Rana and all the cops show up to this village. They're trying to get them out of there to basically clear land, I believe, to make buildings and stuff for Baba. And they won't leave. So then Baba tells Rana to destroy the village and kill everyone, basically. And I don't know at one point, but we do see an interview of Baba talking to a reporter. She's like asking these questions, like, "What about the farmers who had to leave?" And he's like, he's talking like he's nice. He's like, "Oh, there's barely any produce or whatever there." And he's like, they're like, "What about the businesses and the buildings or something like that?" He makes up some excuse or, that the farmers joined their cause. Like, they didn't lose their jobs. They joined me. Which, what the hell does that even mean, right? So yeah, we get the flashback. Rana ends up going into the kid's house with his mom, and the kid is up on like the top bed, and then Rana comes in, and I don't know if he tried the rape her or whatever, but like she kind of fights back, and then he ends up choking her to death and killing her. And then he leaves, he sets the place on fire, and then that's whenever we see Kid go down there and try to like wake his mom up, basically, and that's where he got his like his hands burned from there. So yeah, they basically killed the whole village.
I think he was the only survivor.
Probably was, to be honest. Then we get the little training montage with the drummer. I thought it was pretty cool. Because he's like punching the bag, and then he's like about to stop, and then like the drummer guy is like hits like the beat as he's punching the bag, and
It's really cool.
I thought it was cool. Some good songs in this movie too, like good needle drops,
I
I thought.
talk about that in my review because, like, the soundtrack is fucking wicked.
It is. It's good. Then we see that one of Scotty's men left a note and beat up one of the girls. I guess she was trying to stop him from coming in here. I forget what the note says, but pretty much they want to take this place too, I think.
Because Alpha like Excuse me. He's a keeper of a temple, and it says it's a Hira community or Hijra community, but they're all they it's a trans community, like they're all male to female trans, and including Alpha, I would say, but
Yeah, because he's at the end of the movie, right?
yeah. But it's just, I don't know, it's a really cool place.
So we see Kid go back to the ring. He is fighting as Kong. He's fighting King Cobra again. And right off the bat, just okay, start the fight. Goes out to fight and just fucking roundhouse kick right to the bottom of the chin and just knocks him out. And the whole crowd, because like everyone hates Monkey Man, right? Like he's kind of like the heel in this. Like no one likes him, you know, he always loses, stuff like that. But then this time he's like, fuck it. And he's like, knocks the guy out. And Tiger's like, get up, get up. And he's like, you fucking asshole. And
Get in there, get in the fuck up right now.
yeah, exactly. So Tiger's all pissed off, and then he's like, okay, fucking send the next guy in. And we get, what was this guy's name?
Baloo, the
Baloo.
bear.
Oh yeah. This fucking tall ass fucking dude. Actually, I want to see how tall. I feel like I looked this up the last time I watched it, how tall this
Yeah,
guy
he's
is.
fucking huge. Because, like, Dev Patel is very tall, and this guy towers over him.
All right, first it was because he fights three, right? And it'll be
Yes.
see Shere Khan, whatever. So that's the guy, Shere Khan he play fights after, and then in comes in fucking the big ass dude.
Dev Patel is 6'1", so I guess he's not like that tall.
Okay, I got his name, it's good. Yeah, so he's 7 foot 1.
Jesus Christ.
And he was a professional basketball player
Okay.
in Indonesian basketball.
Okay. That's nuts.
So he fights Shere Khan, ends up beating him, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. That's the same
And
actor that plays King Cobra too.
so yeah, he's fighting Baloo, and this tall ass guy, he's like dodging to him, and then Tiger throws in a fucking baseball bat with barbed wire on it.
Yeah.
And then Colin just fucking punches this guy straight in the nuts and just kicks the fuck out of him. And so everyone's cheering for Kong. He ends up winning, and then it cuts to the sanctuary, and there's like money hanging from the statue they worship, and I forget what the note he left said,
I can't
but
remember what it was.
yeah, he leaves all the money to them. So, and then we see him bleaching the mask, which I thought was cool. So we see Bobby is at he goes back to King's club, and we get the kitchen fight scene. I mean, what a place. Like, okay, I got a halfway game for you. Okay,
Okay.
what's like your top like three or five like settings for fights?
That can be any setting.
Any setting.
I mean, I know you're asking this because of the kitchen, and I feel like a kitchen is a great fucking place to have a fight. Like a restaurant grade kitchen.
Like just like a dirty ass fucking who gives a fuck fight.
Because like we have this one, and then like there was that one in Under Siege, which is like a completely different movie, but it was a fun kitchen fight scene too. Yeah, kitchens for sure. I kind of like just in the streets and stuff, like in like on a rooftop, like in a busy street or a busy city, because like they're dodging cars and like they can fucking deal with like food trucks and food stands and stuff like that, and like those are just fun. And a third one, I don't know. Like I'm thinking of like Ong Bak, like in the jungle and shit, but yeah, I'll just roll with that in the jungle.
I mean, you gotta say like a classic bar fight.
Well, yeah.
bar fight or like I don't know.
Yeah, a kitchen is always a fun one though, because there's just so much stuff that you can grab a hold of. Like you got pots and pans. Like in this one, he fucking slams a guy's head into a microwave door. It's just like there's just so many utensils you can grab.
And then he picks up like I don't know, like a kettle or something like that, but burns the guy's face with it, and like kicks a guy into the fucking microwave door, and yeah, it's just fucking great, great fight scene. It was a weird song choice, I feel like, in this fight too.
Why do you think that?
Don't know, I forget what song it was, but it was like, I don't know, just didn't. I didn't hate. I liked it, but I just didn't expect it.
Trying to remember which one played at this part,
It
because
was like, I feel like it was like a very white man, like rock song or something, or like pop song.
at one point we do get Somebody to Love. It was a remake of the Jefferson Airplane song.
Maybe it was that one.
And there is, because shortly.
There was a Kendrick song, I think, at the beginning, I think,
Oh
right?
no, that was. So that song was in the club. Somebody to Love was in the club. There's Swedish House Mafia. They had a song in this. And then. I can't remember if it was the kitchen scene or directly the fight directly after the kitchen scene, but we have Danadon from Bloodywood is the song that's playing, but that's like heavy metal. And I love that they got Bloodywood in this because they're so fucking sick.
So he gets up to the next area. He's up there by himself and he's just fucking kicking ass out there. And then he, what was that you're drinking?
It's a Coors Seltzer, but the can's like it's blue and green. So I was expecting lime, but it's green apple. It was
Okay,
not
because he had like a very like sour
a,
face
because
too.
I was not expecting green apple. I thought it was lime.
Looked very disappointed in that
I was just
sip.
like, oh, that wasn't, I wasn't expecting that.
So yeah, he beats all the guys upstairs and then like hear the elevator gain and like there's like fucking 15 more guys that come up and I feel like just like the third act, the second act I don't really like. I feel like it just not much is happening and kind of brings it down, but then I feel like the third act just like
Oh man.
brings it back up and just finishes it off, right? There's all the action in the third act and like he's like picking up like a table leg or something, he's like hitting guys with it, and he's in the elevator and he like stabs a guy with an ice pick or something, and then he's like holding off another guy and he just like grabs it with his mouth and just fucking shoves it in further and
So
blood goes all
nasty.
over him. And then we see what'd you say their names were, the trans?
The Hira or Hijra, it's Hijra.
So they come in, they're all in like all in their full get up, and then they got all these fucking, they got like dynamite, they got fucking weapons, and they're just crazy, man.
I would want them on my team because they were fucking sick.
100%. And then Queenie comes up and she has a gun and she's shooting at Bobby, and then Sita, I think is her name, who is like one of the worker girls that he kind of made friends with. She just fucking clocks her in the face and kills her.
She was fucking beautiful.
Yeah, she was gorgeous. So he is heading upstairs to the next level to kill Rana. Pretty easy fight because Kid is just kind of, he's had enough. He's like fucking, he's like in John Wick mode, man. He's just like nothing can stop him. Like he just has all this energy and Rana like has no chance with this guy.
Speaking of John Wick, I love the scene whenever he's getting his gun. And the guy's like, you gotta love this one. Like he was, if you like John Wick, it's the same gun he used in John Wick, except it was made in China.
Did you say that? I missed that part. That's funny.
And it's even funnier too, because this movie, a lot of people compared it to John Wick. Like everyone was saying that it was the Indian John Wick, but I don't know. It's a lot more in depth than that, I think. Like the backstory is a lot more deeper.
Yeah, exactly. So he ends up killing Rana with a fucking high stone's high heel, just keeps beating him with the end of the
Yeah.
fucking
It's
heel.
brutal.
Yeah, it was. So next he is heading up to the lion, who is Baba Skati. Kind of, I don't know, underwhelming kind of face to face. Like, it just kind of
But I mean, like,
bothered
Sh Shakti's an
ends
old
up.
man, so.
Yeah, he ends up stabbing Kid, but then Bobby, I think, ends up stabbing him a couple times, a few times, right? And then Bob is still like, oh, he's lying on the ground, like talking, spewing his nonsense. And then Kid stabs him right at the fucking forehead with a knife.
Well, Shakti has these like flip-flops, they're sandals, but they're like
Yeah.
thong sandals, but on the top there's like these great big like bulb kind of looking things.
Yeah.
And those are fucking like spikes. Like he pulls them out and it's like a little knife.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anything really happens after this, like after he kills him, right? Like,
Oh, he just kind of like lays there. Because he's been shot, stabbed, and fucking beat
so you think he
up.
dies then?
I don't know if he dies, but I feel like someone's gonna save him. But I feel like he is, if he does survive, he's gonna live a much more peaceful life. Like, I don't think we're ever gonna see a sequel to this movie, and I'm fine with that. I don't think we need a sequel because his whole agenda was to avenge his mother's death, right? So, and he succeeded in that. So I think he's just, maybe he's gonna go live with Alpha at the temple.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I think this is the end of Monkey Man. I don't think we're gonna get any
Probably.
more.
Yeah, I think so. Cool. Well, anything else?
I don't think so, no.
Alrighty. Well, that's the way the fists fly.
Okay, how did you rate this movie?
So I originally had it. So the first two times I watched it, I had it a 4 to 5. But this one, I think I'm gonna drop it slightly. I'm gonna go with 3.5 out of 5.
Okay.
Just I think it's a well-made movie, very well-made movie. I think Dev Patel is awesome in it. The soundtrack's awesome. The cinematography and the filming of the scenes, actions were done really well. But I just think like the second act just really just brings the movie down for me. Like I just don't feel engaged. I didn't feel attached to his story. I feel like we didn't get enough time with him, I feel like. And like what happened in the parts between like when he was a kid and now, because it's like
Yeah.
probably 20 years, like what was his bringing up? Like I know he fucking hates Baba and Ron and stuff like that. Like, you know, you don't get any of his backstory except for his mom dying.
Yeah. That's when he was Slumdog Millionaire
Yeah.
in between.
Yeah, exactly. Oh yeah, I get a 3 out of 3.5 out of 5.
Okay. All right. So this is only my second time watching it. After we came out of the movie theater, I had this rated at a 4.5. I've dropped it down to a 4. I love this movie. I think it's amazing. I love like what it represents. I love the Indian culture that this movie represents. But I feel like this was a much better theater experience than it was me sitting on my couch watching it. And like that's not like really a fault of the movie. It just on the big screen with like the big speakers and everything like that, it made a big difference. I do agree with what you said. Like I don't hate the second act. I think it is somewhat crucial, but it's also something that we've seen a lot in movies. Like we've seen it in John Wick, we've seen it in the Batman movies where like they get beat down, fucking broken, and then they go to like a temple, or they go and there's like this training montage, then they come out and they fucking kick ass. So it's a formula that we see a lot. Not to say that like they didn't do a good job with it, but it's nothing new really. I think it was a very strong directorial debut from Dev Patel, and I am excited to see what else he does in the future. I think this movie deserves more than the 35 million that it made in the box office. Like you said, I love the cinematography and how it switches perspectives. Like we go from shaky and close-up camera work during like the high action scenes, but then like it slows right down to like for like the more meaningful scenes. And I don't know, we've already talked about the soundtrack, but this soundtrack was fucking sick.
There was, yeah.
I really enjoyed it. So yeah, four out of five for me on this one. All right, you guys know our scores. We'll head on over to Rotten Tomatoes and see what they scored it. There is a critics consensus and an audience consensus. We will start with the critics, obviously. So, an audacious effort from debuting director Dev Patel, Monkey Man dispenses action and socio-political commentary with equal aplomb. So, based on that, what do you think the critics scored it?
I'll say 74%.
You're way too low.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, 89%
Nice.
on 306 reviews and an average score of 7.2 out of 10. The audience consensus: Monkey Man's exciting action scenes hit even harder thanks to a really well-written and emotional story. And the audience gave it a 78%, so you're closer to that one. That's on 2,500 ratings and an average score of 3.9 out of 5, or a 7.8 out of 10. What's LB got for us?
Letterboxd. Letterboxd has a 3.7 out of 5 on 713,000 watches. A 4 out of 5. Anthony gave it a 3 out of 5. Jensen gave it a 4 out of 5. And that's it.
Nice. All right. What do you got for me?
Alrighty. Okay, I was gonna make one change just to kind of throw someone in there. Okay, so the game we have this week is non-action actors doing action movies.
Okay. I
Okay.
like that.
I will say Bruce Willis was on a lot of lists, but we kind of weren't around. Apparently, like whenever he was cast in Die Hard, I guess there was a big shock to everyone because he did mainly comedy movies and stuff like that. So
Oh, okay.
I didn't include him because I didn't really know that. I thought he was just an action
I've
star. So
always known him as being an action star. Yeah,
yeah.
okay.
All right. So we will start off with our boy Colin Firth, who was known for The King's Speech and then went and did Kingsman.
Yeah.
This is 1 to 5, by the way. Blind ranking.
I do love the Kingsman. That's a big jump. I think there's going to be better guys, though. I'm going to go four.
Okay. We will go with Dev Patel.
I'm giving him two because
Okay.
he did 97% of his stunts in this movie,
Yeah.
and he broke his body literally for this movie, and he got
Yeah.
jacked as fuck. Yeah, I think he did a fucking awesome job. So yeah, I'm going to give him number two.
Okay. We're gonna go with Anya Taylor-Joy.
Okay.
I had to throw a female in there.
Yeah. No, I like that. Ah, fuck. I fucking love her in Furiosa. I'll put her at three.
Okay. Second last one. Our boy Chris Pratt, who went from Fat Andy on The Office to Jacked Star-Lord.
Parks and Rec, not The Office, but.
Or same thing, yes.
Fuck. I'm gonna, man, he was like the one of the biggest fucking action stars for a while. I'll put him at one.
Okay. That's fair. You may be disappointed, but your last guy is our guy Bob Odenkirk
Ah, shit.
from Nobody.
I was thinking about putting Anya Taylor-Joy in fifth, but I didn't want to put a woman in last place. I just felt like that was kind of fucking sexist. And I think she did a fucking awesome job in Furiosa. Like, no, I'm not discrediting that at all. Okay, so Bob Odenkirk's in fifth. All right. I would have liked him better in third, but whatever. It is what
That's
it
still a
is.
good list. Cool.
I like that list. That's a good idea.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Well, with that being said, you ready for our
Cunning Stunts.
All right, how did you rate the stunts in this movie?
I'll give the stunts in this movie a 6 out of 10.
Okay.
There is quite a few fight scenes. Definitely some of them seem kind of rushed and stuff like that, but I think the choreography is done well in a lot of the scenes. Like you said, Dev Patel did a lot of his own stunts. It just kicked ass, a lot of creative stuff in this as well. So give it a 6 out of 10.
Okay.
Favorite stunt? I'll go with I'll just go with him in the middle room fighting all the guys, and then when he's in an elevator it just fucking cuts that guy's neck with the knife with his mouth and stuff. I thought it was
Yeah.
hilarious. And stunt I would like to try. I would like to try and do I'd love to do parkour through like the rooftops of India and kind of run away from the
Okay.
cops.
All right. That's fair. That would be fun. All right. My stunts, I gave it an 8 out of 10.
That's
I just like great fight sequences. Love the camera work during the fights. I already mentioned all that. And like there's a good mix of hand-to-hand combat. There's some gunfights and just like whatever weapons anybody can kind of grab. Like there was like how we mentioned. I'm going to mention it again in a second, but like the whole kitchen scene, and then there was the fucking the field hockey stick, and just I don't know. And I also mentioned that Dev Patel did most of his stunts for this movie. My favorite stunt, I said the whole end fight sequence, but like more specifically the part in the kitchen. I just loved how there's so many different items being used, like the microwaves, the teapot or the kettle. And just whatever he could kind of grab from the kitchen. And stunt I would want to try, I said, I want to drive that fucking turbo boosted tuk-tuk.
Oh man, that's a good one. Fuck.
How sick would that be? I love it. But yeah, I don't know. I enjoy this movie. It's not like in a. Actually, I had this really fucking high for 2024. I think this was like my second favorite movie in 2024.
I think you were really high on that, yeah.
Yeah, I was out of the theater. Like now it would drop down a little bit now. But still really well made movie. I think it's a fucking awesome directorial debut. Dev Patel knocked it out of the park. And yeah, I don't know. It was a fun one to watch.
For sure.
And the 4K transfer was fucking awesome. It did a good job. But with all that being said, you are going to Newfoundland with your family. A couple weeks, so we're taking a little bit of a break, and we will be coming back to record on July 22nd. And from that day until the end of September, we're going to be doing a theme. I think our first theme on this podcast, besides our Mad Max kind of
I think so.
playthrough, we're going to be doing a summer blockbuster theme. So these movies don't have to have been released in the summer. It's our summer. But every movie on this list had to have made at least $350 million in the box office. Do we want to give the whole schedule or just our next pick?
We'll do the next pick.
So our first movie in the summer blockbuster theme is going to be Independence Day.
Yes, sir. And our
Which,
first Will Smith movie, I believe.
yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right. Definitely our first Jeff Goldblum movie. I
On
think
this
he's,
podcast,
yeah,
yes.
on this one, yeah, because we did Jurassic Park in the other one. But yeah, I'm excited for this because I haven't watched this in a really long time.
Yeah,
And
I don't even have it logged on Letterboxd. Like, it's on my watch list, so like it's
yeah.
been probably since before 2020.
Yeah. And I always remembered enjoying it, so I really hope it holds up. But yeah, so come back in a few weeks. What's that? Like right now. So it's almost a month away when it'll be released. But yeah. But in the meantime, you guys can check us out on social media at a podcast on Fury Road. Check out our backlog. You have a month now to get caught up if you haven't already. And yeah, come back in a month for Independence Day.
See you in a while.
Crocodile.
Peace.
Bye.